across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Israel ramps up its retaliation against Hamas militants in Gaza after deadly attacks and hostage taking along the southern border. CBS News correspondent Holly Williams is in Israel.
Deadly retribution is raining down on Gaza. Palestinian officials say they've already killed close to 700 people, including children. Israeli forces are massing at the border. 300,000 reservists have been called up. And Israel's ordered a total siege of the Gaza Strip, with no food, fuel, or medicine for its residents.
CBS's Matt Piper with U.S. response to the attacks on Israel.
U.S. citizens are among the dead, while an unknown number of Americans remain missing. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby.
We do know there are a number of unaccounted for Americans. Obviously, we're greatly concerned for their safety and security.
As for the possibility of U.S. military heading to the war zone, for now, the White House says no.
There's no plans to put U.S. boots on the ground here. We're always going to look after our interests.
The State Department says commercial flights and ground options are still available for those wanting to leave Israel. Matt Piper, CBS News.
New information about General Motors' latest offer to its workers is coming out. GM agreed to include electric vehicle facilities under the United Auto Workers Master Agreement. CBS News Detroit reporter Andres Gutierrez reports.
In their sixth offer, General Motors is offering a 20% pay raise over the course of the contract. Half of that will hit workers' bank accounts in year one. By the end of the contract, GM says almost all of its UAW workers will make about $82,000 a year. GM is also willing to reinstate the cost of living allowance for team members at max wages starting in year two.
Today's holiday has been marked across the country in different ways. Some cities have held Columbus Day parades. In other places, like Richmond, Virginia, the Pocahontas Project and two churches observed Indigenous Peoples Day. The Reverend Gwen Crichton with St. Paul's Episcopal Church.
We offer our respect to those ancestors who may be interred in this land. We are also thankful for the gifts of the people of the land.
CBS's Jim Krasula reports a U.S. military serviceman is finally headed home more than a half century after he was lost in the Vietnam War.
Air Force Captain Frederick Hall had been missing in action since his Phantom jet was shot down over Vietnam in April of 1969. There will be a burial and memorial service, including members of Rolling Thunder.
The Nobel Economics Prize goes to Harvard's Claudia Golden for research on the workplace gender gap. Stocks ended higher on Wall Street today. The Dow closed up 197 points. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It's the Wild West of how students are using generative AI.
As educators, there's sort of six responses that we can have to these new tools. We could ignore it. Mm-hmm. We could ban it. We can try and outfox it. We can teach about it. We can actually teach it, or we can teach with it. I think the most exciting one, of course, is to teach with it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
David Drake is a professor and the Extension Wildlife Specialist at UW-Madison. Greg, tell him what you call him.
I now refer to you as James Birder Boyfriend.
It wouldn't be the first time.
Whoa!
Now I have competition.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, God, I am wounded.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Mattenair.
Good morning, and welcome to the Monday, October 9th edition of As Goes Wisconsin. Greg Buck is producing. Joining me as guest host for this first hour is our friend and colleague, Todd Alba, from the Todd Alba Show, which you can hear every Monday through Friday across the Civic Media Network from 1 to 3 p.m. And we also want to wish everyone a happy Indigenous Peoples Day, used to be called Columbus Day. Good morning, Todd. How are you doing?
I am absolutely fantastic, you guys. How about yourselves?
It's just so different from when we had you on last week because you were on your patio in the
great
80-degree weather, and now this is a little bit more normal Wisconsin fall.
Yeah, had to move inside into the kitchen area here, so hanging out with you guys is the best way to start my Monday.
Well, that's lovely of you to join us. I really appreciate it. We are going to start with the unbelievable atrocities that happened overseas this weekend when Israel was attacked by Hamas, and what is the death toll up to now? Do we know?
I think well over 300 in Israel and over 200 in parts of Palestine. So, I watched a news show this morning. I think it was CBS Mornings. One of the people that are there, they brought in, equated this to 7 9/11s for Israel. Because if you take the amount of people who live in Israel compared to the U.S. and the amount of people who have died, and so the person was, I think it drove home the point, imagine 7 9/11s and then having the attackers occupying your country and then kidnapping people and now reports of rape as well. And it's certainly noteworthy that it is reported that Americans are also amongst the dead and the kidnapped.
Yeah. I started seeing that this morning. I think the report was I saw that 7 Americans were confirmed dead. We will keep up on that and see what happens with those numbers, tragically, because unfortunately I think it's fair to assume that the number is going to rise. Now, this happens, of course, at the same time that we have no Speaker of the House in Washington, D.C., and now there is a Republican from California, John Duarte, who was on Fox this morning, and he is calling for bipartisan agreements to get Kevin McCarthy back in.
Well, I mean, that's a wonderful thought, I guess, but the train has kind of left the station on that. I don't think Kevin McCarthy would want to be Speaker again, especially under these circumstances. And I mean, if they want actual bipartisan agreement, last time I checked, Hakeem Jeffries is sitting there with experience. And if they wanted bipartisan agreement, they could make Hakeem Jeffries the temporary speaker. Heck, they could make McHenry, who's actually the interim speaker, they could make him the special speaker. I mean, there are certainly other options there besides Kevin McCarthy.
Well, and I have to laugh. This was in WPR from last week. This is from Friday. Republican Glenn Grothman of Wisconsin, who I rarely agree with about anything, actually came forward and said, yeah, there was no plan when they ousted Speaker McCarthy.
I saw that clip and I thought it was fascinating. And like you, Jane, I know Glenn fairly well. He served, and my former boss served in the Senate. And yes, I rarely agree with him politically. But yeah, I mean, Glenn makes a lot of sense on this one. That just, and again, think of this, Jane and Greg, when you're right of Glenn Grothman, you've really fallen off the cliff,
right? I was gonna say.
Even Glenn Grothman has the sensibility to say, hey guys, gals, if there is no plan, maybe we should keep the person we've got.
Yeah, it's again, Glenn Grothman is saying this and we're agreeing. It's astonishing. He told the WPR's The Morning Show last Friday he believes the vote to oust Kevin McCarthy was solely due to a personal conflict between the members of Congress. Quote, nobody in Washington believes that Matt Gaetz is doing this because McCarthy talked to Democrats. He's doing it because he, on a personal level, does not like Kevin McCarthy. And so now everything's at a standstill. Right? I mean, everything is stuck.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a terrible position. Sorry, Greg, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I was just going to...
Yeah, I agree.
I was just going to say, yeah, Glenn, we know.
Tell us something we don't know, right? And then at the same time, when all of this is going on, the office of Senator Tommy Tuberville, who claims he's a Republican from Alabama, even though most of the reports say that he actually lives in Florida... He's still not backing down on his month-long blockade on hundreds of military promotions, even amid these deadly attacks by Hamas against Israel. This is over the ability of female service people to go to a state where they can get medical care if they need an abortion. And he is holding up, what, over 300 people? Over 300 military promotions?
At least that, I mean, I think if you total not just the flag officers, but right down the line, it's well over 500 to 700 now total promotions. If you go right down the line, that he's, I mean, it might be 200 to 300 of direct Senate appointees, but you go down the line. We talked to General May, Brigadier General May, who is the commander of the Wisconsin Air National Guard, a couple of months ago when we did a show up there. And of course, current city military are reticent. They cannot be partisan. They have to be nonpartisan. But he spoke directly to the military preparedness. And he went on the record and said, look, take the politics out, but I can't deny this is having real effects, even right here in Wisconsin, on our military men and women. So, yeah, I mean, the thing is, I mean, about Senator Tuberville, he might want to remove that license plate surround thing that says, welcome to the Sunshine State. So, I mean he turns out he does live in Florida, but he tries to represent Alabama. But, and our colleague Matt Flynn has talked about this in the afternoon as well, that, again, the responsibility falls on the Republicans in Tuberville, but not one, to my knowledge yet, not one United States senator has stood up and said, look, let's just change the rules. Let's forget about this, groveling to one person, because this is having a real effect. To me, Jane and Greg, there are kind of two facets. A, there's the strict military facet. I never served. I worked in military affairs when I worked in Congress, so I have some semblance, but I've never worked in it. I want to make that clear. But there is a real, not just from military preparedness, from strategery or strategizing, but the men and women who have kids.
Right.
They have kids going to elementary, high school, colleges, and they can't enroll because they don't know where they're going. That's kind of number one. Number two is what's happening in Israel right now with this attack by Hamas. And look, Israel is a top ally of the United States. President Biden has sent the USS Gerald R. Ford, the brand new nuclear aircraft carrier, to the region to try to dissuade others from taking advantage of this. We need our top military people in place to give commands and give orders, and Tommy Tuberville and the Republicans are holding that up.
And for what purpose? I just don't understand. He's making a one-man stand, and ultimately, of course, again, he doesn't live in the state where he claims to serve in Alabama, but there are a whole bunch of military people in Alabama, and I would think that they would become growingly annoyed with this action by him.
We've used a couple of stories. Alabamans. He is now, in political terms, in polling, we call it underwater. Tommy Tuberville is underwater in his own state amongst Republicans over this. So yes, even Alabama Republicans say enough is enough. And yes, it would be bad enough if it was just about women's health care rights in the military. But it's even more petulant than that. A large part is because President Biden decided to put the new Space Force headquarters in Colorado rather than Alabama. Because, hey, you know what? Alabama already has military, and I believe NASA installations as well. They tried to spread the love around. Tommy Tuberville didn't want it, and still he's throwing a fit.
844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. If you want to weigh in on this, you can call and or text. We have our friend Bill from Oconomowoc on the line. Good morning, Bill. What do you think about what's going on? Go ahead, Bill. We lost him.
As Johnny Carson,
I got him on air.
All right, we will delay that. Bill, you can always text in. Again, that number is 844-967-2789. We have a text from the 541 that says, so wait, actual Republicans are realizing they let MAGA Republicans go too far and they don't have a plan? It's about time.
I mean... Welcome to the party.
It's so immensely frustrating that all these personal petty grievances are how we have decided to govern when they are serious, serious problems to deal with in this country and around the world. And we're playing petty politics. And at least up to this point, they're all getting away with it.
Yeah. It really is like kindergarten cop, right? I mean, what the heck is going on?
Nothing. And it's so painful to see some of the discussions on Twitter. I am not well versed in the history of the conflict between Israel and Palestine. I certainly know some of it, but even one of the Israeli defense ministers this morning. And the attack that Hamas carried out was horrific and awful and targeting civilians. But now the Israeli side has said that, well, we're dealing with human animals. Mm-hmm. And that demonization of our humanness is terrifying to me.
Well, it is. But I also think, Jane, in fairness, we're seeing that same type of human animalist genocide happening in Ukraine. I mean, you can't call what Putin is doing to Ukrainians anything short of genocide. I'm not going to go that far with Hamas right now, but certainly I never served, but there are actually rules of war. There are actually rules of engagement. And Hamas has broken those. They are a recognized terrorist organization by the United States of America. They are recognized terrorist organizations by most democracies and established countries around the world. And in war, you just don't do what Hamas is doing right now in Israel.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. If you want to text and or call in, join us. You're listening to As Wisconsin. We are on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry. Autoglass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass Now today for full details.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Haller House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Haller House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy skies overnight with a low of 36. Winds out of the west, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Overcast tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 54. Mainly clear skies tomorrow night, lows level off around 37. Cloudy skies expected Wednesday with daytime highs approaching 58. 55, chance for scattered rain showers Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 46 degrees.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. 1.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. The lines are alive. I'll take you in order. Do not hang up. We're going to start with Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling, Bill.
Thanks, Matt. Say, I got to touch on 3 points. First point is, everybody call Tom Tiffany and Scott Fitzgerald and tell them if they're voting for Jim Shorts Jordan for speaker, they're siding with domestic terrorism.
Right.
Second of all, with Israel, already the far-right extremists are dumping this in Biden's lap like it's his problem. That's absolutely siding with the enemy. You're either part of the problem or part of the solution. And last but not least, Matt, I'll hang up, but I want you to tell me, I had heard that Netanyahu is equal to Israel's answer for Trump. What do you think? I'll hang up.
Yeah, well, I think there's a couple of things, and then I'll go to the next caller. First of all, Tiffany and Fitzgerald essentially betray the United States regularly. One little piece of news that I will leak right now, some of you may have seen it, and we'll talk about it later in the show. This increasing sentiment for Kevin McCarthy, believe it or not, even though they nabbed them before, Kevin McCarthy to run again. And the reason for that is Scalise, remember, he's the number two guy in the House, once described himself as David Duke without the baggage. And, you know, frankly, Jim Jordan should be a criminal defendant along with Trump. He was the major congressional architect of the coup. So you can't have either one of those. But number two, on Netanyahu, a couple of things. He put together a cabinet. And there's a couple of real right wing extremists in that cabinet. But when we're facing war, Israel's facing war, they're our ally. This is a war against Western culture. This is a war against our culture, America's culture. We have instituted the separation of church and state and no established religion as a result of the Enlightenment, as a result of the wisdom of our founding fathers. But the fact of the matter is that the basic culture of the United States is Judeo-Christian, and I want it to stay that way. This is an attack that goes back to the 7th century. We should never forget that. So I have no idea about Netanyahu as opposed to Trump. Trump, I do know, and Trump is a criminal. We don't want him. Netanyahu is right now the prime minister of Israel, and they're at war, and we're with them, period. End of story. Next one up, Dave in Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Dave?
That was an excellent historical rendition. I mean, the depth of your understanding is incredible. It's very, very, very impressive. And you mentioned the history of the Palestinians also, that people are telling you all kinds of things. You know, in 2005, the Israelis uprooted all their settlements. They expelled their own citizens from Gaza. They withdrew from Gaza. And that was a significant part of the territories. I think it was at least 5%. And 5 months later, the Palestinians had an election, and they elected a ISIS-type organization, and you've identified that organization. It's Hamas. And then they took over the Gaza Strip, and you get this. And that's why it's such a hard, hard sell to ask the Israelis to withdraw from the West Bank. Can you imagine, if we throw a Jew from the West Bank, can you imagine what would happen? 10 times this, 20 times this, 30 times this? They wouldn't have any strategic depth. Here they had some because it was started in the south away from, you know, major population centers. But it would be an absolute catastrophe if that happened. And also, by the way, I like you adjusting for population. I got 26,000, you got 40,000. I guess it is closer to 40,000 now. That I just heard 900 Israelis have died. I mean, it's a horrible situation, and it's very hard to believe that Iran doesn't have their fingerprints all over this. You know, because of the fog of war, it's too early to tell, but that's something I definitely, definitely watch.
I think, thanks for the call, Dave. I think Iran is part of it. The Wall Street Journal said that today. Some people say no. The people that are saying no don't want to admit it, publicly say it, because then they'd have to bomb Iran. I personally think we are going to have to bomb Iran. And the only question is under what circumstances, so as not to draw Russia into it and not to draw China closer to Taiwan and all that. But the Iranians are Shiites. Muslims are only 10% Shiite in the whole world. The Sunnis are 90%. Saudi Arabia is Sunni. It hates Iran. They hate each other. Saudi Arabia every once in a while just grabs a Shiite cleric and executes him for the hell of it. This is a sick bunch of people, very sick. Iran is part of this. It was part of the planning. They're trying to build a nuclear weapon. They're very close, and they're supplying drones to Russia to murder people in Ukraine. And I'm tired of it. I'm goddamn tired of it. And we're going to talk in an upcoming segment about the way that that could work where they do get bombed. Andrew of Detroit, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind, Andrew?
Hey, Matt, I've got to agree with you and Dave that Iran has its fingerprints all over this. And I'll go a step further and say Russia does. And I'll say that Donald Trump also. Remember him with the Russians in the White House soon after his inauguration? We don't know what information he gave Russia about Israel's defenses, whatever. We don't know if he's still doing it, because no right. one will throw his ass into prison to stop him. But also, Netanyahu is Donald Trump of Israel. And what Netanyahu has been doing recently to the citizens of Gaza is appalling. And from what I've heard today, he has now shut off the electricity, shut off the gas, shut off the water. And they are living in an open-air prison in Gaza. You treat people like that, they're going to fight back. Matt, I know you're probably not going to agree with that, and we'll have right. to agree to disagree.
Okay. Thanks for calling, Andrew. Yeah, I do not agree with you, but I'm going to have to talk about it after the break, because Calvin just gave me the high sign. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
For me and you. Believe me, baby. I know it, baby. You know it, too.
Broadcast.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Israel is attacking Gaza after the militant group that controls the territory attacked Israel, killing and kidnapping citizens and soldiers. CBS's Holly Williams is in Israel.
A spokesman for Hamas threatened to execute one of the hostages it's holding every time Israel bombs Palestinian civilians without warning. He also threatened to broadcast that on video.
Israel has cut off electricity to Gaza, says aid worker Bushra Khalidi.
There's currently only enough fuel in Gaza for another 3 days of electricity, and currently they only are receiving about 4 hours of electricity.
In Richmond, Virginia, on this Indigenous Peoples Day, a prayer from the Reverend Gwyn Crichton at St. Paul's Episcopal Church.
Creator, let us be of good mind to reconcile the mistreatment of this land and to those who have been displaced.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Haller House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Haller House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show. On the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
Jade, Monkey, Diamond Crute, we're going to be there. Live broadcast. Party all night.
That's right. The tour stops in Madison at the Jade Monkey on Cottage Grove Road Tuesday, October 17th. It all starts with a live broadcast at 4.
Road trip! With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app, the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Do you support the legalization, regulation, and taxation of legal cannabis in the state of Wisconsin? You said yes! Melissa, that was like 12 years ago! What do you think the hang-up is?
It's the Republicans. They're suffering from reefer madness. They're out-of-touch legislators in the Capitol building who don't want to give a win to Governor Evers and Democrats.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Matt Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, let me tell you what I do agree with Dave about of Detroit. This is what I agree with. Iran was involved and so was Russia. That I agree with. And there is information spreading. I don't know if it's totally accurate. I'm certain it is about Iran and about Russia. But here is what is known, and then here's the theory. What is known is that Iran has been providing Hamas, which is a terror organization. It's like ISIS. they try to say, well, they're for the Palestinians. They're not for the Palestinians. They're part of 1,400 years of murder of Christians and Jews. That's what they're part of. But what happens was Iran has provided them about 93% or 94% of their arms, their training, and everything else. And the people in this, according to the Wall Street Journal article today, and numerous people have talked about this, the Hamas did not have the sophistication to do what they did, a three-pronged attack by boat, by drone over the wall, through the wall, the tactics. They were trained in Iran, and Iran still supplies them. Israel has not boycotted the Mediterranean coast right in the Gaza Strip. So they still supply them. Now, what do we do about that? Iran also provides drones to Russia to kill Ukrainians. It is developing a bomb. It has enriched its uranium to a little over 60%, which is weapons grade. Now, they cannot be permitted to have a nuclear weapon, period, end of story. There's one nuclear weapon in the hands of a jihadist country right now, and that's Pakistan. And they got it because they stole the information. But they are surrounded by China and India. China has a nuclear weapon, a lot of them, and so does India. India hates Pakistan. Pakistan hates India. India hates China. China hates India. You'd think that Pakistan and China could get along. You know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. But because of the strong jihadist tendencies in Pakistan, and take a look at Afghanistan right next to it, Chinese engineers will go into Pakistan and Afghanistan and get murdered because they're apostates. They're a different race. They're a different religion. They're red communists, Chinese communists, but they also have a Buddhist background. What I felt really sad about, a bunch of women from China decided to open up a beauty parlor in Afghanistan. They were called whores. They were kidnapped, raped, and murdered. So Pakistan is really constrained. They could not possibly use their nuclear weapons without getting obliterated. But Turkey has made overtures that they want one. They can't be permitted to have one. Saudi Arabia says that they will recognize Israel if we give them nuclear power. Well, and that we can monitor. Well, Iran said we could monitor theirs, and then they hit it. In Saudi Arabia, they have a city where no Christian or Jew is permitted to set foot or be arrested, only Muslims. They'll simply transfer the facility there, and then you can't go in. No inspectors can go in. And they'll have engineers from China and Russia come and help them develop a bomb. Under no circumstances, can Saudi Arabia be given nuclear information by the United States just for recognizing Israel. Their heart is full of hate. We shouldn't be even admitting immigrants from Saudi Arabia in this country. And they will simply recognize them for 6 months. Once they get the power, get the Russian and Chinese engineers in, they'll get a little more tepid in their recognition. We're going to go to the lines. Tom and McFarland, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Tom?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. You know, a couple of things. I know that the Republicans are making hay out of this, saying that, you know, the $6 billion that Biden unfroze is how Iran paid for this. And, you know, just how the Biden administration, they are caught flat-footed. How come our intelligence didn't see this coming? And, you know, a couple of things with that. First, the Mossad and Israeli intelligence, I don't think there's a better outfit in the Middle East in terms of intelligence. They don't need our assistance. And this is a better question for how is it that Israeli intelligence missed all of this? And I think that goes back to the earlier assertion, the level of sophistication that happened within this attack. There was no way that this was planned in under 30 days, which is how long it's been since we unfroze these funds. This is a course of over multiple months, multiple trainings that was going on, and they knew pretty much exactly where to hit Israel and get past not only their Iron Dome, but also their wall defenses. And like was pointed out, there's only one person who also knew that level of sophistication, and that would be Donald Trump, and how he probably, more than likely, gave a lot of the secrets to Russia that they then built up off of, sold to Iran, who then trained Hamas. I really hope that we're taking a look at exactly how Donald Trump fits in with all of this. I think it's better to say that Trump is more to blame than the Biden administration. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. First of all, with the Biden administration, we had frozen Iran's money. It's not our money, it's their money. And my opinion, don't give it back to them. They had five prisoners who are American citizens, but they all seem to be ethnic Iranians. I don't see the utility of giving any money to them for that, unless these people were really agents of ours and had secrets and we didn't want them disclosed. I'm not going to second guess Joe Biden. He's one of the best presidents we've had in my lifetime. He's kept the West together. He's kept NATO together. He's kept the EU together. And that money had not been dispersed. That money hasn't gone anywhere. It's not going anywhere. Not while this is going on. But what you say about Trump is very interesting, because I had a conversation last night with a friend of mine who is one of my classmates in college, who's knowledgeable about this and is in contact with people in the government. And he, out of the blue, and I know you've never met him and he's never met you, so you're not the only ones. And Andrew of Detroit said the same thing. Here is the scenario. Here's what we definitely know. And here's what is the speculation. What we definitely know is that Iran was part of it. They supply these people for 93% of their action, their terrorist activities for a long time. And they've supplied Hezbollah up in southern Lebanon. So everything that these people did, these Hamas terrorists, and think ISIS. I mean, Hamas people, what's Hamas? They don't know. What's Hamas? There was a sushi joint in Fox Point in Milwaukee County called Hamas, H-A-M-A-S. Nobody blinked, you know. But they're like ISIS. They murder, they rape, they sexually mutilate children. They're animals. They are animals. Now, Iran is a client state of Russia. Russia and Iran are allied in Syria. They are allied in Syria. And Iran supplies Russia with drones to kill Ukrainians. There's an old adage in detective work is, who benefited? Forget all the clues. Who benefited from the crime? Iran benefited from the crime because they're fanatics, murderers, terrorists, genocidal terrorists. Russia benefited from the crime because when we supply Israel with more munitions, air defense, missiles, and so forth, that's material that can't go to Ukraine because it can only go to one person. Obviously, we can beef up production. Number two, it momentarily takes the world's eye off of Russia's sadism, murder, genocidal sadism. They benefit. The reference to Trump, this is interesting, that Tom McFarland just said, that my classmate said last night, that Andrew of Detroit just said, is this. Trump has been funded by Russia for 20 years. Eric Trump, his son, told that to a journalist of Golf Digest of all. They're out golfing. And he sort of boasts. He said, yeah, we get our money from Russia. Kevin McCarthy, to his caucus, said, I think Russia is paying two people, Dana Rohrabacher, the congressman from California, who's not in the Congress anymore, and Donald Trump. Then he denied he said it until somebody played the tape. They said, do you think that was photo sound shopped or something? And he just walked away. Donald Trump met with Sergey Lavrov, the foreign minister of Russia, in the White House with no Americans present. Nobody from the State Department, nobody from the Defense Department, no military, nobody. Just him and a couple of Ruskies that he brought with him. He's met with Putin a number of times. One time he had no interpreter. Trump had no interpreter. They used the Russian interpreter. There'd be no witness. Another time he told his interpreter to give him his notes and he ripped them up. Trump is an asset of Russian intelligence. He's on the take from the Russians. The reference to his spilling the beans on Israel is related to another issue that's very similar. Israel had placed an undercover spy in the innermost circle of Al-Qaeda. The innermost circle of Al-Qaeda. They had devised a plan to avoid metal detectors in airports in the United States and Europe by using a liquid chemical compound that they would then put together and light with a match. You can bring a lighter, a match on a plane, blow up the plane. Israel told the United States that. That's one reason why you can't bring more than a certain amount of liquid on a plane, whereas you could have before that disclosure. Donald Trump told that to the Russians. As a result, when he was president, as a result, Israel had to yank the guy out quickly because they would have known who said it, and then they would have tortured and killed him. Even worse, we had a guy in Putin's inner circle. He socialized with Putin. I don't know if Putin plays cards, but if he did, he played cards with Putin. He drank with Putin. He was our guy. When Trump told the Russians and burned the asset, they call it burning the Israeli spy, not burning really, but in other words, fingering him, the CIA pulled Putin's friend out of Russia to save him and his family, gave him refuge in the United States. Donald Trump is a menace to our country. He is a menace to civilization. When it comes to disclosing Israeli defenses, the theory is, because we know that Iran was involved and we know that Russia benefited, but he shoots his mouth off. He talks to, remember the other day, he talks to an Australian billionaire and tells him how many nuclear weapons our subs have and how close they can get to a Russian sub without detection. Trump did that. Part of it is bragging, ego, stupidity, and part of it is bribery. With Russia, whether it was bribery or whether he's showing off, saying that we know the Israeli defenses, you know, just saying, if you want to defeat them, blah, blah, blah. All they have to do is say that to Iran, boasting it. Iran are the handlers of Hamas and Hezbollah. I want to emphasize again that this goes back 1,400 years. Next time you watch TV, sit there, and it's not about whether somebody's poor or rich or oppressed or not right now. For 1,400 years, this instinct to destroy Christianity and destroy Judaism has been going on. That is why they will never recognize Israel. And that is why Israel can't possibly make peace with people who won't recognize their right to exist as human beings. We're going to break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry. Autoglass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass Now today for full details.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Haller House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1906. 1708. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pin still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pin still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy skies overnight with a low of 36. Winds out of the west, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Overcast skies tomorrow, highs level off around 54. Mainly clear skies tomorrow night, lows level off around 37. Overcast Wednesday with a high of 58. 55, chance for scattered showers Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 46 degrees.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK. FM WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Let me tell you some hard reality about our Congress right now. We have no ambassador to Israel. Did you know that? We have no ambassador to Israel. That would have helped, but we have none because Rand Paul, under unanimous consent, won't let any vote go forward on ambassadors. Tommy Tuberville doubled down today, and he said, no, he will not lift his hold. He will not permit any general or admiral to be promoted. Marjorie Taylor Greene put in a resolution that passed with the Republican votes to reduce Lloyd Austin's pay, the Secretary of Defense, to $1. In the middle of a war involving a close ally of ours, Rand Paul won't permit them to have an ambassador. Tommy Tuberville will demoralize the American military. Marjorie Taylor Greene attacks our defense secretary. This is treason. These people are traitors. Saw an interview with a guy named Mark Wayne Mullen. He's a thug. He's also a Republican senator from Oklahoma. The thug gave this, he gave this response, and then he goes, they ask him, well, don't you think Rand Paul should let us vote on an ambassador to Israel? And the thug, Mark Wayne Mullen, said, nah, that's not necessary. That's just more bureaucracy. The guy, pig-like eyes staring out, I really do not want to see any of these people on Wisconsin Avenue next July roaming around. Their pig-like eyes, don't want to see them. But now, here is the deal. Here's the deal, which is very, very sad. The Democrats are not really stepping up to the plate, in my view. And I'll explain why I say that. The one ray of light, by the way, on the speaker race is that it looks like Gymnasium Jim GYM Jordan can't get the votes to be speaker. And it also looks like Steve Scalise, the David Duke in disguise, he said. He didn't say that. What he said was, I'm David Duke without the baggage. We know all about Rand Paul. He's a congressional architect of the coup. He should be a criminal defendant. Neither one of them can get 217 votes, apparently. There is some sentiment. We'll see if it works out. But Kevin McCarthy got 209 Republican votes when he got shut down by the Matt Gaetz crowd. Because of the Matt Gaetz crowd, he may not get 217. But I would strongly urge the Democratic Party, if he gets 209 or anything over 200, to have Hakeem Jeffries promise him the remaining votes to be the speaker. Better him than Gymnasium Jim GYM Jordan. Better him than David Duke. Better him than Steve Scalise. Now, why do I say that? First of all, he came out with a magnificent statement today. He said he's strongly pro-Israel, pro our allies, pro getting them all the resources they need, and pro fighting anti-Semitism in this country. One of the things that really disgusted me were these rallies in Times Square in New York and in Chicago, where people who hate Israel were shouting against Israel and for Hamas. The one in Times Square was organized by the Democratic Socialists of America. They said that it was entirely Israel's fault. 24 student organizations at Harvard University just put out a statement today, disgusting, saying that the Hamas torture, murder, and rape of Israeli civilians was Israel's fault. Right now, right today. Let me tell you something. I believe in free speech. During wartime, it is sometimes curtailed. If in 1943, you held a rally in Times Square or even downtown Milwaukee, saying you hoped the Nazis won and we support their murdering people in Europe, you would have been arrested. And even though there's no declaration of war now, you can't have a declaration of war when people have nuclear weapons. It would just lead to destruction. So I don't think people should be arrested for participating in these things, but I saw some people from UWM and some kind of anti-Israel alliance attacking Israel. Let me tell you something. If people are not citizens and they act like that when our allies in the middle of the war, I would revoke their scholarships and deport them, take away their visas. Enough's enough. Enough is enough. I'll tell you something else. On the Democratic side, there are 15 Democratic senators who, about a week ago, 10 days ago, sent a letter to Biden saying, attacking Israel, really, saying, don't include them in the visa waiver program. Many of them were the same people that attacked, ganged up on Al Franken and forced him out of the Senate. He hadn't done anything wrong. He hadn't done anything wrong. They were bothered by his crudeness on something or other. But you know something? Not a single one of them has said, why don't we have Tommy Tuberville thrown out of the Senate, a white supremacist? Why don't we have him thrown out of the Senate? Or I've got an idea. If you don't have the guts to do that, how about just saying Tommy Tuberville is wrong. He has held up the promotion of our admirals and generals now in the middle of a war for something like 6 months. We're going to get rid of unanimous consent, at least for this, at least for the promotions of admirals and generals. And I'll tell you something else. We're going to get rid of unanimous consent, at least for ambassadors. Rand Paul prevented an ambassador to Niger, and there was an Islamic takeover. And they threw out people friendly to us. They put in people who are for Russia. They're displaying Russian flags, and they're murdering Christians because of Rand Paul. Now in Israel, we don't have an ambassador right in the middle of this war of our key ally. And yet these clowns in the Senate, these incumbent clowns in the Senate, are all saying, well, nothing we can do. I'm poor little buttercup, sweet little buttercup, nothing that I can do. If you can't do, get the hell out of the way. Get out of the way. I have a lot more to talk about, and we only have an hour, and we're coming to the end of the show. It's a great show. Great callers, as always. Thank you for calling. I see some of you on the line. I'm sorry I can't get to you today. Matt Flynn Direct, we'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today.
there ain't no easy way out. Hey, I will stand my ground and I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Haller House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people. Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Haller House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.